RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Time for the Wilms Report. Tuesday morning here at RCR, Tim Wilms beams in from the unshackled.net in Melbourne. And Tim, how's the weather?
Well, it stopped being super windy, or as the news was reporting, the equivalent of a Category 3 cyclone, but it is still quite miserable here in Melbourne. It is certainly doesn't feel like spring. We're getting constant showers, Melbourne's four seasons in one day, so I guess that hasn't changed. But I did notice with the wild winds last week that there are a few more people wearing masks outside. Oh. And I was thinking, are they thinking that COVID's going to blow in their face with the winds, or that monkeypox might blow in their face?
Yeah, like you say, they think it's going to blow into them.
Oh, there's not much logic in the people still wearing masks.
No, of course not. Did anyone actually get blown away by the winds?
Not that I heard, though. Of course, we did have that lady tragically die when a tree fell on our cabin.
That's right. I remember you telling us. Yeah.
But thankfully, there has been no other injuries. Yes, we all managed to keep ourselves safe without the need for a government stay-at-home order.
A nanny order, yep, stay at home for your own safety. It seems to me, the last four or five chats, the weather has always been bad for you, Tim. There's a pattern emerging here. I think Melbourne is somehow being punished in a way for something. I don't know what, but that's my impression, that it's been a long run of bad weather.
Oh, this is Melbourne. If you've lived here, it's four seasons in one day. Though, apparently, according to there was a report on 7 News, one of our 6 PM news channels, that apparently our four seasons in one day can have ill health effects on us.
Oh, that explains the masks. Okay, let's get into some of the issues. This is interesting. So Australia is the number one country in the world outside of Africa for mpox, am I right?
Yes, so outside of countries in Africa, because we're all on high alert because of this new clade, though in the rest of the world, Australia is the number one nation with 463 cases in 2024 as of September 7th. And this is all the 2022 clade. I'm not sure if I want to bore your audience about
that. No, I don't want to be bored with that. No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Sorry.
So it's not the new, apparently scary clade, but it does seem that the monkeypox that arrived here into New Zealand as well, all around the Western world in 2022, has become endemic because there's at least a dozen cases, it seems, added every day to our total.
And it comes through certain engagement, let's say. I mean, you have to be pretty close to the person, don't you? And it affects particular communities. And obviously, Australia has a high level of activity, is what I'm deducing.
Yes. So it's almost exclusively transmission occurring between the men who have sex with men community, so gay and bisexual men. Apparently only one woman has got it in Australia this year. And our SBS News, our SBS is our other government taxpayer-funded broadcaster, had a feature on this gentleman who went by the pseudonym Jack, and he described contracting mpox as traumatizing, and he got it through a casual sex encounter at a King's birthday weekend dance party, and he rated it a 9 out of 10 for pain, and he said that he was screaming on the floor in agony at the emergency department, and they prescribed him a range of different drugs, including opiates, antivirals, and nerve pain medication. And it lasted for 6 weeks. And this was wow. despite the fact that he had already been double vaccinated with the smallpox Bavarian Nordic Genos vaccine. And so he said that, of course, be double vaccinated. That's step one. Well, I got it while I was double vaccinated, but who knows how much worse it could have been if I wasn't vaccinated, just like
COVID. Oh, the old it could have been worse. Oh, geez.
Yes, even though the average monkeypox case lasts for 3 weeks, so his was double. But apparently,
is it going to be a lockdown of, you know, for this amongst this community? I mean, I'm wondering because, you know, going on the last event, we know what we're talking about. Then that would be the logical thing to start thinking about locking down certain people.
Oh, well, of course you can't stop people from being who they are. You can't discriminate against them. There's been all this hoo-ha about the census. So the latest update in that is now gender identity questions are going to be included in the census as well as sexuality. So also in this story, it mentions one of the local Melbourne bathhouses, which apparently are all gender inclusive now. They're just not men only, which sort of makes me laugh. Oh. It's not just women's spaces being invaded, also men's spaces. So they apparently, it's called Wet on Wellington, they had on-site testing and vaccinations back in 2022. So they're having one of the transmission sites is a vaccination hub as well.
Oh dear. Let's talk some national politics. Another average week for Albo. Why is it average for him?
Well, the national accounts, the GDP figures came out for the quarter and the economy grew at 0.2%. So we're technically growing, but immigration, the population grew at 0.6%. So this is the sixth consecutive quarter where GDP per capita has gone backwards. So we are getting poorer, but in terms of the official GDP, that's what counts as a recession, not the GDP per capita. But we have been for six quarters, 18 months, been in a per capita recession. We are getting poorer. And I mentioned last week that Australia's living standards are the worst declining in the OECD. We are heading in the completely opposite direction.
What does that mean for the polls then?
Well, the polls have the average of polls. We don't have a Nate Silver in Australia, but they're consistently 50-50 two-party preferred, though the Labor Party primary vote has plummeted to below 30%. They only got 32.5% of the primary vote at the 2022 election, but still made a majority government in the House of Representatives where it matters. So most of the money is on a hung parliament, a Labor minority government with an assortment of Greens and Teals and other independents. We just had a redistribution here in Victoria. The AEC abolished the seat of Higgins because that's in response to a lot of people fleeing Victoria during Dan Andrews' lockdown. They actually lost a seat. So that is currently held by Labor's Dr. Michelle Anajaraja. And before she was elected as the member for Higgins, she was a COVID extremist doctor, and she supported masking two-year-olds. She was one of those. But for some reason, the Labor Party thought that she would be a great recruit. And so she released this statement about the abolition of Higgins, saying that this will leave the parliament more male and less culturally diverse when underrepresented people need to be seen and heard. It's an evolving story of our multicultural nation. This step backwards will reverberate in our schools, suburbs, and workplaces.
Oh, really? All right, there's that. Also, I saw, Tim, that Bill Shorten was, as we say on radio, hanging up the headphones.
Yes, Bill Shorten, who lost two federal elections as Labor Party leader. He was leader from 2013 when he managed to stitch up the vote of MPs over the vote of the Labor membership who wanted Albo. So he came close in 2016. Malcolm Turnbull only just held on to majority government, but then he lost the unlosable election in 2019 because of his unpopular tax policies to roll back franking credits and negative gearing. That was Scott Morrison's miracle election victory, and that's where Anthony Albanese Albo got his chance and won in 2022. So he said, though, when he lost and resigned as leader in 2019, that he was going to stay for another 20 years. It looks like that's not the case. But he's already got a new job stitched up as the Vice Chancellor at the University of Canberra, even though before politics, he was the National Secretary of the Australian Workers Union. He entered the public eye when he was down at the Beaconsfield mine disaster, where two were rescued, one died because they were his members and he was talking to the media all the time, entered Parliament in 2007. There has been a lot of, praise for Bill Shorten, including from the Liberal MPs as well, including by opposition leader Peter Dutton. Though what stands out to me, like they all talk about what a great bloke he is, though I remember when he, over a decade ago, how he abused an Asian pie shop lady. He misheard her Asian accent. She said, "I haven't got any hot pies, but I can microwave this pie, but it'll be a bit soft." And then she said, "I like Julia Gillard," and thought that she said, "It'll be a bit soft like Julia Gillard," who was the
pie shop of all places.
Yes, you can see him mouth the FU on the way out. And so, of course, he had apologize and eat some humble pie. And also, he managed to escape a rape accusation by a woman by the name of Kathy Sheriff at a Labor Party camp when they were in their late teens. So Victoria Police said there was not enough evidence to charge him, even though Kathy Sheriff has not changed her story, though a rape accusation was enough to destroy the career of the Morrison Attorney General, Christian Porter. They were both subject to rape allegations, but one was able to still continue their political career while the other felt like they had to retire from politics.
And his new job, is that a job for the boys kind of set up? Is that what it's thought to be?
I don't know what, given that he doesn't have a history in academia, it seems like an odd fit. You know, he's from Victoria, so he'll be moving from Victoria to the ACT, but it gives the impression of rats deserting a sinking ship.
Oh, I see.
And Anthony Albanese had another cringe shoulder-rubbing moment when he was in the Hawthorn AFL club rooms after their elimination final victory. And I watched it and I was like, I couldn't believe it. But he is, even though he's based in Sydney, Anthony Albanese, he supports a Victorian AFL team, though he has donned other club scarves when he's been like announcing funding for them, which is a big no-no in AFL. And so Nathan Brown, who's a ex-player and a pundit, he said that these people that try and insert themselves into footy finals when maybe they should stay in their lane, this sickens me. Albo, give it up, mate. So also, Nathan Brown is a spokesman for Sportsbet, and the Albanese government is under pressure to ban gambling ads completely.
I see. Conflict of interest.
Online.
Conflict.
So maybe he's worried about losing a stream of revenue because I'm not sure what the law is in New Zealand, but it's just basically everyone hates those sports bet ad, including the the voiceover about the multi.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't watch the normal TV, so I never see them. But he's not like Kamala Harris, who puts on specific accents depending on who he's talking to at the time.
Anthony Albanese. He's never pretended to be Italian. His surname is Italian, though he was raised by his Australian mother because she was, crudely knocked up on a European cruise by an Italian man. And because she
between that and the pie shop, I mean, you know, this is classic Australia, isn't it?
Yeah, so she claimed that his father had died and took his name because she was a Catholic and that's what you did back in the day. But then she eventually told him his father was alive and well and saw him before he died.
Oh, dear. Okay, maybe we should talk about some local government elections in Victoria and New South Wales. Mail-in ballots in Victoria, am I correct?
Yes, our local government elections, they will begin in October and they're done exclusively via mail-in ballots. So remember, we're told that they, of course, are safe and secure.
Yeah. That's right. What could go wrong, huh?
Yeah, even though we had I think it was in the city of Darebin councillors whose election was ruled invalid because of nicking postal ballots from the mailbox and getting family and friends to fill them out. But apart from that, safe, secure and effective.
Not maybe. In New South Wales, you've got to vote in person still, do you?
That is where the Liberal Party, of course, failed to lodge on time 140 of their candidates' nominations, which has now led to administration of the New South Wales Liberal Party, a federal takeover until the next election, because it was getting to the point where Peter Dutton didn't trust that they could select candidates on time. And, of course, last week they had one of their, former MPs, Rory Amon, charged with raping a 13-year-old boy. So it just goes from bad to worse, that branch.
And in Melbourne, I think, is this an annual military trade show where the military industrial complex turn up and show off their latest wares?
So it's called the Land Forces Expo. So it's biannual. It's described as the largest military contracting arms expo in the Southern Hemisphere. I think the one in 2022 was in Brisbane. And I, for one, don't want them here. I'm as anti-war as they come. Though the Victorian government likes them here because apparently it will inject money to the economy. That's what they always say. Though it looks like there is going to be some pro-Palestine and socialist groups who, in their opposition to war, might not be non-violent. The expo starts on Wednesday. There were two pro-Palestine activists who were arrested yesterday for assaulting a busker during their pro-Palestine march because he refused to stop playing their music when they were speaking and they damaged thousands of dollars worth of his equipment.
Oh, so he wasn't like playing a tune that they were objecting to. It was just that he was playing music and they wanted him to stop, so they gave him a hiding.
Yeah, which is why should he move? He's there every day. He's entitled to keep, and apparently he provoked it by, because they were in his space pushing, he pushed them away when it looked like they were about to destroy his equipment, which they did anyway. So according to the pro-Palestine apologist, apparently he started it.
Oh, yeah, it's always someone else who starts it, isn't it? Okay.
But the Victoria Police, they have got 1,200 officers who have been deployed. It's been declared a designated area where face masks can be removed. So in a way, I'm glad that the police are anti-face mask now.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And it also has search and stop powers for any people and vehicle. It's called the biggest Victoria police operation since the World Economic Forum meeting in Melbourne in 2000, which also the socialists protest against. That's when they hated globalism and weren't bootlickers for the globalist plans.
Wow, okay. Celine against the machine video deleted by online safety commissioner. And then someone was assaulted, what, regarding Akon? What's Akon? So are those two stories linked?
So she held a rally, Celine against the machine, because in the New South Wales Parliament is wanting to pass gender self-ID laws that we have in Victoria. They're also in Queensland as well. So it was titled Biological Reality Matters, Say No to Self-ID, Protect Women and Children in Sydney's Hyde Park. And so when one of the speakers was making a speech against the AIDS Council of New South Wales, acronym ACON, which has strayed so far from being focused on AIDS to support all of this gender queer madness, there was this hysterical HIV positive gay man who screamed out. And then Chris De Bruyne, known as Chris Coveries, is a Sydney live streamer, because that was something that was happening, of course, went over to film them. The man's mother was there and threw a handbag at him. And so
threw a handbag. Oh, golly.
Face. And so apparently he thought that his mother was being assaulted and so threw him to the ground.
Oh, okay.
And said that I didn't mean to hurt anyone. It was just my reaction, and that nobody should badmouth Akon because I got HIV accidentally, which means I couldn't study my medical degree and I was thinking of killing myself, and Akon saved me. So apparently that's okay to just, you know, throw people to the ground if you...
Yeah. I mentioned the online safety commissioner. Was that a video earlier that was... deleted.
Yes, Celine against the machine. She was speaking out against a queer club in a primary school in Victoria. Though apparently, the e-safety commissioner, Julia Mann Grant, or one of her proxies, sent an email to Twitter X saying that because the Free Speech Union of Australia taking the case to the federal court, it was apparently an accident that the video got deleted. And Julianne Mann Grant, she's been on another publicity blitz this week because one of her censorship, misinformation, disinformation czars colleagues is in Australia. You remember Nina Jankowicz, the Biden administration censorship czar.
That's right. Yeah, I do.
She did the song about disinformation to the sound of music, Favorite Things. It was very cringe. So she was invited to Australia by a group called the Sydney Dialogue. And Julia Mann Grant, she's also playing the victim card, saying, I get all these death threats, which of course is not on, but of course, people have a strong reaction when they're trying to censor people's views online. And she's also done the bidding of this Queensland trans mother, Jennifer Buckley, in her quest to silence, though he claims that not trying to silence Jasmine Sussex, who was sacked by the Australian Breastfeeding Association in 2021 for refusing to use gender-neutral language. And she spoke at Jasmine Sussex at the Women Will Speak in Melbourne a couple of weeks ago that I covered. And now, despite the fact that Jasmine is based in Victoria, Jennifer Buckley, who's the father of a child with her wife, who's the biological mother, is taking Jasmine Sussex to the Queensland Human Rights Commission, which, how can the Queensland Human Rights Commission take a Victorian?
I don't know. How?
And, of course, this Human Rights Commission is out of control. Its most recent frivolous complaint is against Dave Pellow, because an Aboriginal man was offended at his church and state summit because he did a Christian welcome to country, not the Aboriginal welcome to country. Mm-hmm. And also Lyle Shelton, the former head of the Australian Christian Lobby, was dragged through for criticising the suitability of two drag queens to read to children at the Brisbane City Library. So we haven't heard anything about this from the Liberal National Opposition Leader, David Crisafulli, who's all but certain to win the Queensland state election on Saturday, the October 26th, whether he's going to wind this back. He is really playing it safe, no risk.
Okay, so I've just got this right. Have I, that the guy wants to breastfeed the baby?
Yes, because with enough hormones, apparently the trans women can lactate and feed breast milk, healthy breast milk, infants.
Ugh. Yuck. All right, well, we can add that to the handbag attack, the cruise thing and the pie thing.
Also, in Sydney, they're trialling womb transplants on biological women to start.
This is mad.
They're wanting to experiment this on trans women.
This is just so off the planet. Okay. Now, a review. This is interesting because here the health ministry's report into puberty blockers has been delayed. They're delaying it. But where you are, a review of puberty blockers has found what?
Yeah, so Westmead Children's Hospital, which provides gender-affirming care for children in Western Sydney. That's the language these days. So an independent review commissioned by the New South Wales government, this was in the wake of a Four Corners story into it, although it was from a sympathetic perspective done by the ABC's Patricia Carvelis. So they have concluded that puberty suppression treatment is still safe, effective, and reversible. So again, the safe and effective, we've heard that before.
Yep, always
calls for more long-term quality research acknowledging the strength of evidence is low. So basically, they've had the same evidence that the CAS review over in the UK into gender treatment onto minors, but it reached a completely different conclusion.
Yeah, the CAS report is pretty final in a lot of the thinking of our audience. And I guess if they ban them, the house of cards falls, right? You have to admit that you've been doing something pretty nasty for all this time. So you've got to keep it up, the pretense up, I'm thinking.
Well, Australian politicians, the governments have been very, obviously there are politicians who are dissenting, but the position of the governments is not budging. A review was voted down in the federal Senate, and there were Liberal senators who voted down having a review into gender treatment for children.
It won't end well for them. I'm predicting now.
Again, we haven't heard anything from the Liberal opposition leader, Mark Speakman, though the previous Liberal government in New South Wales was fully on board the trans child agenda.
The trans train.
The former health minister, Brad Hazzard, who your audience may remember.
Yeah, we remember.
Making all those grumpy statements at COVID press conferences, launched the Maple Leaf Health gender clinic in Newcastle and defended them at a parliamentary hearing.
Oh, I can't take any more, Tim, after hearing all that. I just can't take any more. Hopefully the weather improves.
And hopefully that, the protests outside the Land Forces Expo are peaceful, not mostly peaceful, because if you're anti-war, then you can't be violent. But I'll give you
They might roll one of their products out and blow them away.
Well, yeah, it might be a Tiananmen Square. Because Victoria Police, they actually do have we saw them deployed, the special ops. They look like tanks during the COVID protests. So
military look.
Mm. Maybe the Victorian government wants to purchase a few while they're here.
Yeah. All right, Tim, thank you again for reporting in from unshackled.net in Melbourne on Australia. We'll talk in a week.
Thank you, Paul.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas. From great-looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more, the RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.